welcome to respond to questions after the session. Our next presenter is Corinne Ketterings, and she will be presenting on Phosphorus Index as a Phosphorus Awareness Tool, Documented Pea Use Reduction in New York State. Corinne.
Thanks, Nathan. I only have 5 minutes to catch up from the previous talk. We'll be talking about New York as a case study, going through a couple of slides to give you an overview of what we did in New York since the introduction of the P index, and to reflect back on what we are seeing now 10 years later. So a brief introduction to New York agriculture, P index, CAFO, phosphorus on the ground, and then I want to share some slides with you, some feedback that we got from nutrient management planners in New York that we surveyed, their impressions of what happened in New York State. Just a brief overview of New York Ag, three slides. Number one, there's lots of water in New York. We want to keep it clean. This is the aquifer map. We have lots of farming in New York. It's a dairy-dominated state. Dairy spread out throughout the landscape. If you don't see them, it's typically because it's mountains. You see them everywhere else. This is just a map of the larger farms. There's plenty more than these distributed through the landscape. And we have population centers that rely heavily on water quality being high, so keeping the water clean. Spurs throughout the landscape and in groups together with the dairy industry and other sources of agriculture. So it's important to keep the water clean for those human populations that rely on it. Back in 1999, the CAFO permit process was introduced in New York State. NRCS 590 standard came in place. P index was developed in response to all of that and linked back to the development of concentrated nutrient management plans, comprehensive nutrient management plans. The P index in New York was developed by an index committee, a group of people that consisted of stakeholders in the state, the agencies, Cornell folks with different types of expertise. It was a group effort to get that developed and released in the state of New York. It was implemented for use in 2001 and followed by extensive training of the people that were supposed to be running those P indices. So the planners that could be private sector, and it was private sector, soil and water conservation districts, NRCS extension folks. Extensive training of what this thing was and how we implemented and how we could run it, and with the overall idea of making some management changes in the state of New York. Brief overview of what the P index looks like. The main thing to take away from here is that, like so many others, we have transport and source components in our P index, representing the sources as well as the likeliness of that source to move through the landscape. We have two scores, a dissolved phosphorus score and a particulate phosphorus score. And both of these have to be managed to be below 100 if you want to apply phosphorus. That is done with the idea that there are two different transport mechanisms going through our landscapes in New York and that they are tied to different management practices. So the advice for dissolved P being high might be different from what you would recommend as a best management practice if your particulate P score is high. If you're interested in learning more about the P index, the link is here to the publication that summarizes that. This is how it fits together, source times transport, and all these aspects go underneath it, soil test P, manure and fertilizer applications, and then different mechanisms under dissolved and particulate components of the transport score. The whole idea was to tie it back to management. So if a score is at a certain level, what is the best management practice, the suite of best management practices that a farmer could think about to lower that score and to obtain some changes at the farm level? As I mentioned, both should be below 100. If the P index is between 75 and 95, it's classified as high in our scheme, and that means P-based management. Anything below it, it's mostly nitrogen-driven. Anything over 100, no more phosphorus applied, fertilizer or manure. Focus on phosphorus on the ground. So what happened? 2001, this P index was introduced. It had to be implemented on any regulated farm, any field on those farms. Every single field on the regulated farms had to have a P index assessment. It also became a part of assessments for the smaller farms if they were in regulated watersheds or got state funding or assistance. There is also a Ag Environmental Management voluntary program in the state that was linked to this as well. We did a lot of extension and outreach in the last 10 years related to phosphorus. The PNX itself, my colleague Carl Zimmick is in the audience here, did a lot of trainings throughout the state with folks to talk about the PNX, to walk through and to train people on how to do the field assessment and the rest of the development of the PNX. It generated a lot of discussion also on the herd nutrition side of things, and our colleagues there jumped in big time with looking at the feeding site with the recognition that if you reduce the excretion in the manure, you're part way to a solution to phosphorus access issues. Looking for economic wins, always looking at profitability of the farms and environmental protection at the same time, and we built an on-farm research network partnership throughout the state. Just a quick example of that, this is a map of all the starter phosphorus trials that we did throughout the state on fields that tested high or very high in phosphorus, where the entire goal was to evaluate if there was a need for extra fertilizer on these fields. On the farms themselves, had farmers come through basically trying to see if they risk their corn crop if they left the phosphorus out. These trials showed that that phosphorus wasn't needed. It was very clear. It was very visible. It was on the farms, and that message started traveling throughout the state. We did that for 3 years. Farmer direct involvement, partnerships, very close partnerships, collaborations with the private sector, with the consultants throughout the state. That whole network trickled down the message that we had to be aware about phosphorus issues, and we could basically address some of these issues with some easy gains, like leaving the starter phosphorus out of the starter bed. Going back to my outline, focus on phosphorus on the ground, lots of things happened over the 10 years. 10 years later, what are we seeing now? And I want to share the results of a survey that we did among planters in New York State. So we have a group of 24 certified planters in New York State, and we asked them some questions. We had 100% return rate. Everybody returned those surveys. 18 of those planters were from the private sector. 5 worked for soil and water conservation districts. 1 person was working for Extension, and that one we need to single out a little bit because that is Extension in the New York City watershed, so one particular watershed that fell under this person's responsibilities. So generally, private sector does most of the planning in New York State. Total acreage covered by these the surveys is 750,000 acres, 923 farms. Average farm size was 819 acres per farm. Basically, what that boils down to is that all the CAFOs in our state were covered in this survey. All the planners that work with those CAFOs answered those questions. And that we had several farms that were non-CAFO farms in this survey response as well, particularly also including the New York City watershed. Some of the questions we asked, how long does it take to do a PNX assessment, since every field needs to be done? Response was on average about 40 minutes per field. That varied from 10 minutes if a field was well quantified and assessed in the previous years, to maybe an hour, hour and a half if it was a completely new field where you had to go out and shoot some slopes and do all sorts of assessments in the field themselves. But on average, 40 minutes per field. Percent of farm acres impacted by the PNX. According to the planners, their perceptions, average about 17% of our fields was impacted by a PNX assessment, basically meaning that they had to do something different than they would otherwise have done. Did the introduction cause new fields to receive manure? Yes, 77% of the respondents said it did cause manure to be spread out over the landscape more than it had in the past. Another question, did implementation of the PNX change manure timing of application method or rate? And we asked them to rank those. Response back was timing, yes, definitely, it changed that. Rate, yes, definitely, it changed that too. Method, not so much, was ranked as number 3 in the list. So mostly what it changed on those fields, that 70% that they perceived to be impacted by the PNX, was timing of application of manure and rate of application. Method was a distant third. Percent testing above 80 pounds per acre Cornell Morgan P. Just to set the stage there, 80 pounds is about 10 times the agronomic critical soil test level, two times the soil test level where our recommendations go to zero. So our test cuts people off for agronomic purposes at 40 pounds per acre. And 80 pounds per acre is the level at which the P index exceeds 100 if there is a transport risk. Response to that question, what percentage test over 80 pounds per acre was 5%. Percent of fields where manure can no longer be applied, 4%. So 5% above 80 pounds, 4% where manure applications were cut off. 17% where some changes were made, but manure could still be included in the application. We asked them, did the implementation of the P-index cause any changes in a number of things? Poultry litter use. We don't have a poultry industry in New York. Very few poultry businesses. Did it cause a change in poultry litter use? No change. 78% said no change. Cow numbers? No change. Farm acres? Yes, those increased. Average soil test P? Yes, that decreased. Percent of fields testing very high in phosphorus? Perception was that is also decreasing. And manure exports? Those increased. With the response rates in the chart here below. So did the P-index and the whole package that went along with the P-index cause any changes? According to the planners, yes, it did, and particularly in increasing farm acres, so lowering potentially lowering the densities, decreasing the phosphorus test levels, and causing some more manure to be distributed across the landscape, manure exports. Here are some quotes of what some of the planners wrote us back. We had pages and pages of quotes coming from this survey that are really interesting to read. Farm expansion continues to occur with no regard to the P-index, but farmers are realizing now they need more acres and lower animal densities to make the P-index work for them. A realization that we have linkages between the land and the manure, or we should have linkages between the land and the manure. Today's equipment allows farmers to move manure greater distances. Some realization that we have the opportunity now to do something about this. And decrease in manure P levels due to better ration balancing. Coming back to the nutrition question, a lot of the improvements that were made at the farm level came through improvements in the herd nutrition side of the farm management. What caused corn growers to reduce phosphorus fertilizer use in New York State? Four different answers there. Cost of fertilizer increased. On-farm research showed P fertilizer wasn't needed. That's going back to that statewide project. Increased awareness and the P-index kept applications. And this might be a little confusing here, but basically what this slide is saying, that the cost of fertilizer and the on-farm research program were important to convince people to make those changes. P-index capping application rates was not important. General awareness, ambiguous responses there. So basically what this is telling us, there is an economic benefit of doing this, cutting out some fertilizer, and we have the trust to do it. The on-farm research showed that we didn't need it. We weren't risking our yields or quality. Some more quotes from planners. History of collaboration and trust between the public, academic, and private sector stakeholders in New York State has led to a track record of efficient problem solving. Involve stakeholders in the process and hold them accountable to create real solutions. Here's a planner talking about the partnership that is needed to make this work. And the second quote, the New York Phosphorus Index has been the most effective planning tool for evaluating the risk associated with applying manure to cropland. Institution of the CAFER regulation program was the main driver for changes in nutrient management and soil concentration, however. Coming back to the link between regulatory and incentive programs, this planner was pointing out that there's got to be a regulatory push connection there that created awareness and then tools that make people evaluate their practices and give them opportunities to make some changes. What happened? Do we have data to show that it actually made a difference? So what we wanted the P-index to do was make a difference in management at the farm level, that particularly seeing the rising soil test levels at that time and the imbalances on the farm at that time, was going in a direction of we want to see source reduction. That's going to help us. Here are the sales the values for phosphorus fertilizer, and it might be too small to read, but we have had drastic reductions in P fertilizer use, and that started way before the 2008 price hike in phosphorus fertilizer. People were kicking out the phosphorus in the starters, kicking out the extra phosphorus applications long before the fertilizer price went up. course, it's an economic connection there. If they can gain by taking the phosphorus out, that's a motivation to do it. And that motivation has increased with the recent prices of the last couple of years. But the motivation was there 10 years ago when this was implemented. Farm balances. We see farmers reduce those phosphorus balances. Here are phosphorus balances for farms that participated 5 to 6 years, 4 different case study farms, different sizes. They all reduced their phosphorus balance. And they did that without losing milk production. Several farms even increased their milk production, showing that the potential is there to farm with a lower phosphorus footprint. Here are the farm balances for farms that participated in this study from the Upper Susquehanna watershed, the top portions of the Chesapeake Bay. 211 farm balances included. 2009 balances are about half of what they were back in 2004. What is notable in this data set, too, is that a large portion of that decrease was caused by decreases in import of feed, going back to the nutrition side of things, and on-farm forage production and the stimulus that has been in the state for production of high-quality forages at the farm level itself. And that means more profitable farms as well. We see the trends in the statewide balances. Back in 1992, our balance 17 pounds per acre, 87, 14 pounds per acre. We're now down to a state that is in phosphorus balance, the latest assessments. Basically, the crude calculation of manure and fertilizer minus crop removal, our state now has achieved a phosphorus balance. And that doesn't mean that we don't have distribution issues to address, but it is a great improvement over what we've seen in the years before. So back to our outline, shown you what the planners thought, their perceptions, shown you the fertilizer sales and the statewide balances and the farm balances. What lessons are we drawing from this? Well, one of the things we really need to be at the foundation of any implementation of any changes at the farm level is awareness of the issue, through regulations to extension programming. We need to give farms the flexibility to achieve that change. Every situation is different. We need to go back and become sort of more aware of the issues and aware of the solutions that might be here. Demonstrate the risk involved if you make a change, or the lack of a risk involved in the case of the phosphorus fertilizer in the starter. Through these on-farm research networks, create credible answers, things that farms can believe and implement. Accountability, one of the planners already referred to that, partnership, enforcement of those regulations. If they're there but nobody enforces them, it's going to be a more difficult sell as well. And it's got to be economically feasible at the farm level to get the kind of changes we've seen in New York. For farm level impact and for state level impact, the first thing is to recognize the change is necessary. And I think we did that in New York. We also realized that there's technology that will help us. There are win-win situations that we should go after first. We have to come with believable results, reliable data, believable results, farmer involvement, stakeholder involvement at the farm level. And we have to have this trust-based farmer-advisor-researcher relationship to move this forward. The state-level impact, we must start realizing the connection between the land and the animals. The manure use must be linked to reasonable conservation and crop uptake. Apply some common sense to sound decision making. We've seen some beautiful examples of where that isn't done and the havoc that heaves. And a change via policy, incentive, and measuring and monitoring all together as a full-blown package. And that was what I wanted to share with you.